I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare.
And speaking of tech, Business Insider, Rose, recently ranked Dr. Ayanna Howard as one of the most powerful women engineers in the world. She's a professor at Georgia Tech School of Electrical and Computer Engineering, and she's co-founder of Zyrobotics. It's a startup that develops educational apps and robotic assistance for children with disabilities. She's with us now, and she's brought one of her little prototype robots with her. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And does this one have a name? What do you call him?
So it's called Yellow Jacket. Obviously, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
So nothing fancy, but we do have better names for our...
So he's about 18 inches high, you think?
Something about 18 inches. Think of him as a... We kind of think of him as a child-size robot.
Okay.
So something that's not too intimidating.
And he looks like... You know, obviously, this being radio, he looks like people would think a robot would look. He has sort of segmented arms and legs and a sort of helmet head.
He looks a little, remember RoboCop? Mm-hmm. He looks a little like a little miniature version of RoboCop.
But no guns.
But no guns.
No guns.
Thank goodness for that. and he, you've built him, and we're calling him, but you've built him for that size specifically for to work with the children.
Correct.
So let's get into that. What are these therapy technologies that Zyrobotics offer when you're working with these children?
So one of the problems is that children, and studies have shown that the more therapy, the more rehabilitation they can get, the better their outcomes. But the problem is that when you go into the home, you don't have a clinician in the home with you. And so how can we provide technology that's fun and engaging so it doesn't feel like you're doing homework? For these robotic systems.
And we're talking about children with developmental disabilities here?
No, we're actually talking about children with motor disabilities.
Well, okay.
So these are children who have to do things, and basically repeated movement. It's just like anyone who has an injury.
Okay.
So if you're using Yellow Jacket to work with a child, what would be what you're hoping to accomplish with that child? I mean, what's the goal here?
To move. As an example, if I want you to work out your arm movements or your shoulder movements, I'd ask you, can you move your arm? You do it once. Okay, I'm done. Well, if you have a playmate, it's like, come on, let's do it. Let's have a race. Let's see who's better. Then all of a sudden, you've made it more engaging.
Okay. And then he gives them feedback. Is he able to do that?
Yeah. So we have camera systems that actually monitor what the child's doing. And so we can determine whether the child is doing it correctly, incorrectly, or not at all. So some kids are just like, I'm just done today. And so we provide feedback, both always encouraging. Some kids need, you can do it, you can do it. Some are like, come on, you could do better than that.
So it's kind of like Simon Says in a way.
It is a Simon Says game.
Now, with the directions for Yellow Jacket, do you have to, I see here you have some wires and cables. Do you hook them up to a computer to do the commands here?
Yeah, so our version, this is an early prototype. We have a laptop that we use. We also use the camera system as the Kinect. And so all of it is integrated together. So everything communicates, and we use Bluetooth to communicate from one component to the other.
How long did it take, and what? I'm sure there's a team of you all working on this. How long did it take to come up with the model to even start the testing for this?
So I've been working on this for about 5 or 6 years now. And the very first thing is bringing kids in, doing observations with clinicians. So I work with clinicians, I work with therapists, looking at how they do it, because I'm not going to create something that is new. I want to create something that helps, that is basically in the home with the robotic system.
And why is he able, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Why is he able to get the kids to perhaps develop their abilities as much as they can faster than, say, working with a therapist or a clinician? Or, it's integrated in, obviously, but how does he make things better?
He makes things better because he works in the home. And so literally you can do therapy every single day. And because he's fun, kids love robots. So it's not even like I'm doing therapy. It's like I'm playing with my playmate, and this is my friend, Yellow Jacket. So I'm good with this.
Let's see if we can get him going a little bit.
This is the magic.
Yeah.
And so as you notice, there's all these wires because, again, it's a prototype.
Yep, standing him up now.
Standing him up. I'm about to cut on his power. We'll see if he has any juice left. He has a little bit of juice.
Like the electric car. They gotta have juice.
Yeah. So he's moving. And so what we're showing here is there's a little bit of actuation. And as you see, his battery is a little bit off.
Okay.
He's twitching.
Okay.
So let's sort of walk the listener through this. So you have Yellow Jacket here,
mm-hmm.
and you have the child. The first meeting. What? Take us through how you would go through this.
So first meeting is an introduction, and so the robot says, "Hello, my name is X. In this case, Yellow Jacket, or my name is Y. Would you like to play a game with me?" And of course, I've never had a child say no. And so then it's like, oh, sure. So what I want you to do is imitate what I'm doing. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually wait. We actually wait for a response. And so there's this back and forth. And so then it's like, okay, try this. And so the robot will lift its arm or move its leg and wait. We use the Kinect to see, does the child do this? If the child does, we say, good job. Let's try it again. Child does. It's like, well, maybe we can move a little faster. Maybe we can move our arm a little higher. And so then we provide that feedback.
And so how many, I don't want to call them therapy sessions, but how many sessions do you think or a child has gone through where you can actually sort of gauge and make some assessments as to the effectiveness of someone
right,
like
so
Yellow Jacket?
We ask children to work with the robot 20 to 30 minutes every day, 5 days a week, basically. So they get the weekends off.
And the idea is to stretch the boundaries for the child. So, but when you come up on a boundary, albeit a temporary one, the child might get frustrated. So how does Yellow Jacket address that if the child can't keep up with what Yellow Jacket is doing?
Yeah, so our algorithms are actually a secret formula. They are adaptive, but they're not like the intelligent robots that are going
to
take over the world.
And so, good to know.
our algorithms do adapt.
Anyway.
Oh yeah, we're that's not our goal. And so what happens is we actually can make the protocol either faster, harder, or slower, easier.
Does he offer, you mentioned he offers verbal reinforcement when the child does something. Does he offer encouragement, comfort, whatever, when the child might bump up against a bit of a wall?
Yeah, so, and we call it, and all of it, we've done a lot of research in how do you encourage a child. And each child is actually different. Some actually, I won't say like to be yelled at, but some like the challenge. Others are very fragile. So they don't like, you know, they want to feel like they're always doing well.
Are there any other areas that prototypes like Yellow Jacket are used in any other medical or any other, I guess, experiments in a sense that these are being used in?
Yeah, so there's actually some other research that we're also working on that's using these robot partners for developmental disabilities like autism, mainly social interaction. How do you encourage that?
You know, when we started this segment, Dr. Howard, we mentioned that Business Insider ranked you as one of the most powerful women engineers in the world. So I want to sort of take a little bit of a different path there and talk about how you got into the world of engineering.
So I was inspired as a middle school girl, because that's when everyone's asking you, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? And I love this movie called The Bionic Woman. Oh. And that's what I want. I didn't even know what that was. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to build a bionic woman. And so I originally thought I needed to go to med school. And I took biology and absolutely did not like it. And being a vegetarian, maybe back then, it was something about slicing the frog. and so I had a teacher actually say, well, think about, you know, there is a person that builds the bionics for the bionic woman, because everyone knew that's what I was going to do. So I decided then that I wanted to be an engineer.
So the Bionic Woman, because the $6 million man was first, and we had the Bionic Woman, but it was the Bionic Woman that inspired you. That's really cool.
Yes.
And there is now, of course, a big drive to get young people, young women in middle school, kind of like you were, into the STEM fields, the science, technology, engineering, and math. So how open now do you think those fields are to women? Women of color, such as yourself, in ways that maybe they weren't even when you were in middle school.
Well, so one of the things that they've shown is that in middle school, that's when we lose girls. That's actually when we lose underrepresented as well. And it's not even performance. They're performing in terms of tests and math tests, the same, if not a little better. Mm-hmm. I'm biased. But then what happens is there's a lot of things they say is boring. They don't see the social impact. They're like, I don't want to do this.
So do you talk to middle school girls?
Yeah, that's my passion. That's
well,
where I
That was
like.
Where I was going, because being able to see someone from your community, someone that looks like you, is so important. I want to ask get your opinion about the role that Georgia Tech, and obviously we know it's Spelman with the Spellbots, but this seems to be a region where the STEM fields and getting kids involved in the STEM fields is really taking off. And I know there's a couple schools in Gwinnett that have some amazing STEM curriculum for kids. What is it about this area?
So I think one of the things about robotics is that you can see the value. You can see, it's just imagine if someone can say, what if you were at day one of the internet? You know, it's like, oh, that would be so cool. I mean, that's where we are. We're like, not day one, but we're at the cusp of it being pervasive where everyone has a cell phone. Everyone will have their robot. So I think that's exciting.
And young people, and I mean, I say young, I'm talking middle school, teenagers they're creating apps, and Dennis and I have no idea how they're doing that. But I think that's an indication of, you know, how progressive this has come.
It's exciting, and there's tools now that actually make it so it's doable. And so there's, and one of the nice things about it is that when I was growing up, you know, you had to understand the calculus and the math in order to do anything. Now there's tools that you don't have to understand that. But then when you get to the level where, oh man, I can't do what I want to do, like, oh, here's a little bit of math. But we've already got you.
Yeah. So back then to working with these kids, I don't know how, how long you need to get data to show, okay, we can show measurable success with robots like Yellow Jackets working with these kids as opposed to programs where we don't have that. Has that happened yet? Do you have enough time to collect data that would then show, okay, this is a thing?
Yeah, so that's what's called a longitudinal study, and we're just at the cusp of doing that. Because you need to show evidence to the therapist and the clinician that it's working. So our evidence is we've been doing 1 week or 2 week. We actually have a study now where we're doing 8 weeks to see what are the outcomes.
And so you certainly can say, okay, we've got anecdotal evidence. We've got evidence of how the kids behave when they interact with them. Is that
really? Oh, yeah. We have that.
Okay.
We have that. And there is significant if you look at the difference.
So what are you hoping to be able to demonstrate in terms of maybe, and I hate to break down something that's so obviously kind of hard to measure into statistics, but do you look at, okay, range of motion? You know, how do you measure success in a quantifiable way for somebody in the medical field?
So you actually, there's a different couple of measures. One is Fugelmeyer, which is for stroke. There's the Peabody Development Scale. And they actually go through a number of different tests. And so that's how we measure. We take a measurement of what is their score at the beginning, and then we take another measurement afterwards, and we look and see which of the metrics they've improved on.
When you look at Yellow Jacket, and this was the prototype, so obviously as you go, keep going back to the drawing board here, what improvements do you want to make for Yellow Jacket and Yellow Jacket 2.0 and down the road here?
Right. So our hot off the press, you'll see it maybe in about 3 or 4 months. Everything's integrated together. So there's an onboard camera, there's an onboard computing, there's an onboard social interactive behavior, voice, microphone, all in a nice package.
Is the voice male, female? Will it be some diversity among the voice? I just want to rep for the women. Just want to make sure that we, you know.
So we're going to do, in fact,
if you need a voice, I'm just saying.
We do. We actually have a little SD card. And so we also have skins. And so the concept is if you like metal looking robots, you can put that skin. If you like furry, you can put the skin. If you like pink or blue, so we have skins, and then we'll have starting off number of voices. But you can record your own voice. So if you're a clinician or a parent and you want your voice, you can record it on the card and stick it in the new robot.
Oh, so if you're a parent of the child, wow.
Yes, yes.
What's the future, do you think? I mean, how far can we go in we talked about moving from physical disabilities to developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of thing that you think this kind of robotics might not be able to address in terms of challenges that kids face?
So the only challenge I can think of is that all kids are different, period. And so even as a clinician, sometimes you have to try different things before you figure out what works. And so that's one of those things, is that we're gonna try a couple of things, but there might be something we haven't programmed that the robot has no clue of how to work with this child. And so with that one, you have to get the therapist back involved and say, oh, okay, this is the wrong protocol. We need to do something different.
And how have the therapists responded?
The therapists are wonderfully engaged in this. And one of the things is the therapist is not removed from the equation.
Right.
Because the child still sees. It's just they don't get enough, I mean, in terms of issues with reimbursable and things, they don't get enough time with the human therapist. And so this is actually helping in terms of the overall.
So it's a counterpart for them.
Yes.
We've been speaking with Dr. Ayanna Howard. She's a professor at Georgia Tech and co-founder of the educational robotics startup, Zyrobotics. Dr. Howard, thank you for coming in and taking the time. We really appreciate it. Will we get to hang out with Yellow Jacket? And by the way, folks, you'll be able to see photos of Yellow Jacket on our website here shortly. And did we get to hang out with them?
Sure.
Can you give us feedback when we do a good show?
Will that motivate you?
Yeah. Oh, it always does.
I don't know if those metrics have been developed yet, Dennis.
That's all right. Somebody can win a Nobel for it.